Welcome to the Wealth Done Differently Retirement Podcast. Danielle Howard, a certified financial planner, shares insight into the financial tools, techniques, and temperaments needed to make the most of your retirement dollars and relationships. Danielle bridges the gap between Wall Street and Main Street, bringing complex financial topics down to earth. Danielle will educate and inspire you as you define and refine your version of prosperity.
Hello and welcome to Wealth Done Differently Retirement with Danielle Howard, a certified financial planner. Today we've got a special guest, and that is Amanda Wagner. Amanda is the president and CEO of TAC, which is Train, Aim, and Conquer, in Basalt, Colorado. She and her team are committed to inspiring, cultivating, and celebrating health and vitality throughout Colorado. Her aim with TAC is to assist individuals and organizations in total health and encourage awareness of health-related issues to empower individuals to lead a healthier and fuller life. She serves on the Governor's Council for Active and Healthy Lifestyles. Good morning, Danielle. I'm so happy to hear that you have a wonderful guest in. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Eric. Welcome, Amanda.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, I am excited that Amanda is here. And Danielle, why is Amanda here today?
I've known Amanda for many years, probably five plus. And what I really appreciate about her is her outlook on whole life health, that it's more than just about the physical, but we've always had lots of conversations about, you know, the various aspects of health and wellness. And she brings that to her team. She brings that to our community. She's bringing it to the state in her work on the Governor's Council. And I just thought it would be great to revisit with her, given that my focus is more now on the retirement rewirement season of life, to look at how some of the physical health changes that we're going through impact and can be impacted by, and that we can be proactive with. And in a previous podcast that we did, I don't know, probably a couple years ago, we took a look at three S's of physical health: strengthening, stretching, and stamina. And I actually like to also bring in the fourth element, especially as we're looking at pre-retirees, retirees, of stability. And so today I thought we would look at the physical and mental health benefits of focusing on these four areas. And then next week in a follow-up podcast with you and I, Eric, we're going to start digging into the financial corollaries that we can play off of, because I think people can relate to physical health, and let's apply some of those to the areas of financial health. So that's next week. This week, we're going to dive into the physical aspects.
Absolutely. Sounds good.
Amanda, I have read that inactive people start losing that 5% of their muscle mass each decade after 30. That's kind of mind-boggling. Can you tell us about that exposure to, what do they call it, sarcopenia, muscle loss with aging, and how we might be able to combat that or be intentional, especially as we look at building and strengthening muscle mass?
Well, I think the important thing to pay attention to is that as we age, unfortunately, a lot of things start to decline. And we can't just put our heads under a rock and hope it's going to go away. Muscle mass is one of those pieces that is very apparent as we age. And a lot of research is coming out that, yeah, it's starting in your 30s.
That's crazy.
Originally, a lot of the research was in your 40s and 50s. And so it's becoming even more apparent that we really do need to work on strengthening our muscles so that we can maintain them through the rest of our life. The interesting piece to think about is that our muscles are also our greatest source of fuel for the body. Mm. So if you don't give your body the nutrients it needs, it will eat its own muscle. And that's a challenge. Because now we're thinking about all these ways to lose weight and to live longer and more vibrant. And then we're losing muscle mass. And where do we start and where do we begin? And the big piece to think about is that strength training improves your risk of injury. It it decreases your chances of osteoporosis. And there's a whole host of other things. And in fact, it just makes the things that you do in life easier. So if you don't use it, you lose it. And the best way I can describe that for people is balancing on one foot. When you were younger, I mean, think about this. I did this just the other day, right? You either used to balance on your foot or you used to find a crack in the sidewalk.
Oh, it was just play. It was just, we just did it
automatically. And so, and that's the piece. And so now we, as we get older, we find that it's harder to do that because we just don't do it. And so it's important to not only know that we need to strength train, but to start as soon as we can. And strength training can be anything to running and hiking to any sort of body weight exercise. So push-ups or squats or lunges, Pilates. And then of course, there's all the other stuff that you can do in a gym or a fitness center like TAC. Mm-hmm. But the big piece to remind people is that you don't have to go inside and you should think about doing something that you like to do. So if you like to hike, go for a hike. When you get to the top of the hike, do 10 push-ups. Start somewhere so that you can work to combat that research that's telling us that we're going to lose our muscle mass as we get older.
And muscle weighs more than fat. So when people are looking at, losing weight, I think there's this, a little bit of a conundrum. You want to have good weight. You want to have muscle mass, which weighs more. And I think we need to kind of battle that mindset of, I just want to lose weight, because you want to be the proper type of weight. Is that correct?
So technically, muscle doesn't weigh more than fat, right?
Okay.
A pound is a pound is a pound.
Okay. Okay.
The difference is that fat is denser and not as, to use a term that we use with muscles, toned. So it really kind of takes up more space in the body. And so that's the difference that we see with muscle mass and with fat. And so, yeah, you're right. It's, how do you choose to do all these things, right? Lose weight and get stronger and prevent muscle mass loss. Well, you can't. You got to pick one thing and go with it and then have all of the everyday behaviors that you do match into that goal. So if your goal is to increase your muscle mass, then does that really coincide with also trying to lose weight and decrease what you're eating? Maybe not. But what if you're trying to increase muscle mass and you're choosing foods that are healthier for you and that your body needs versus foods that your body doesn't need, right? So more protein, things like that. It's a big combination of things, and not to confuse people, but your body's resilient and it'll do what it needs to do to function until it isn't. And so how do we work to prevent that and to combat these things that we know are inevitable and that we know are coming, right? Just like a car maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't service your car, it is inevitable that something is going to happen. It may not be tomorrow, but it's going to happen. So
break down.
Exactly. What are the things that you can do for prevention of that?
Thank you. As we kind of segue into the flexibility, stretching. So we've got strength training. You can get out and just hike, and just that resistance, having some sort of a resistance, whether it's in the pool with water aerobics, whether it's Pilates, whether it's hiking and doing some of your push-ups. And then you also want to be maintaining that flexibility. So can you talk to us a little bit about stretching, proper ways to do that, when, timing, that type of thing?
Without getting too technical about what flexibility really is and how it stresses the joints and the muscles, I just went ahead and Googled the word flexibility on the dictionary. And here's what I came up. The quality of bending easily without breaking.
I like that.
Right?
Yeah.
As opposed to, here's the fitness version of flexibility. Flexibility refers to the range of motion for any given joint. The degree of a flexibility the person has is influenced by muscles and connective tissues like ligaments and tendons. A lot of people don't really know what any of that is, but if you just think about flexibility, the quality of bending easily without breaking. So unless a joint is hurt, right, like a knee joint or a shoulder, then the range of motion that you have, so your ability to reach up to the ceiling, may just be due to those tight muscles. Flexibility is a little bit more challenging than strength training, because it doesn't really mean that the more you stretch, the more flexible you're going to be, mm-hmm. right? Everybody's bodies are a little bit different. Some people are too flexible, which actually puts a lot of strain on the joints. And so what we want to think about is that, how do we, and this is what we prescribe at TAC, how do we strengthen and lengthen? So how do we strengthen those muscles at the same time of lengthening them? Pilates is a really good way to think about that. Yoga, in a lot of respects, is the same way. I mean, you might be balancing on one leg, bending forward and reaching, right? So really trying to open up those. But then there are also, of course, you know, it's really important to stretch before and after your workout. Mm-hmm. The research is growing now on what does that look like, and how do we do that? And so the best way I can say is that before your workout, you're going to dynamically stretch, which means it's a movement through stretch. So if I'm going to bend over and touch my toes, I'm going to do that as one motion. I'm going to hold maybe for a second, and I'm going to come straight back up to standing. I'm going to bend over, touch my toes, straight back up to stretching. So I'm not holding it for a long period of time.
Okay.
After working out, when we have all that blood flowing through our muscles, that's when we want to do what we call static stretching, where you're, again, reaching over and touching your toes, and you're holding for 5, 10, 15, 20 seconds and really trying to lengthen those muscles that have just been worked. So D comes before S, right? So dynamic beforehand, not any bouncing or anything with that, but just reaching over, touching your toes, coming back up to standing, doing that 10 times. Same thing with any other muscle in the body.
I love that. And I've yet learned something again new today. The dynamic stretching, just warm up. That's, I can, you know, think of that warming up before you're doing the exercise. And then after you're finished, to really, you know, hold the poses to get that on, you know, what does it do to a muscle when you hold a pose after you've exercised or hold a stretch?
Well, you're really looking to release the tension that's within that muscle. And so if you've warmed up or if you've exercised already and you start to stretch that muscle, now you've got all this good blood flow going through the muscles and you're really trying to lengthen it when it's warm. So working through the muscles as well as the tendons. But the key piece to remember is that there is this piece of overstretching, mm-hmm. right? So if you're bending over to touch your toes or try to touch your toes, you should be able to breathe lightly, naturally, taking some deep breaths.
Not grimacing, right?
Because if you're grimacing, right, what's happening? You're going to contract those muscles and you're going to prevent those muscles from actively releasing. That's where people get hurt in yoga, in other exercises, in other types of stretching that we do, is that overstretching piece, is that it differs from strengthening and that, you know, we don't want to push through it.
Okay.
We really want to listen to our bodies and really work through that. It's the piece, you know, as we age, we all know this, you get a little stiffer every morning you wake up. And that's a blood flow issue, right? When you're sleeping, your blood is going to the vital organs. It's not going to your feet. I mean, it's going to your feet, right? But not a lot of it, because you're not really using those muscles. And so that's why we wake up and we're stiff. So really great time to just practice some dynamic stretching. You notice when you get in the shower, you start to feel a little bit more limber as that blood starts to flow. And that's a really good time that we always tell people to start doing some dynamic stretching, is take 5 or 10 minutes out of every morning and just start doing some stretching routines. This is what's great about the internet and technology. You can kind of Google some things and work yourself through it, or come to TAC and reach out, and we can certainly give people a stretching routine to prevent your body from breaking down, mm-hmm. right?
I know, even just one of my new habits, first thing in the morning, is before I even get out of bed, I will roll my ankles, I'll roll my wrists, I'll do some, now I know, dynamic stretching first thing in the morning. You know, we look at our pets, our cats, our dogs, you know, and you look, watch them as they get up from a nap. They do these lovely little gorgeous stretches. And I do, I think it's really important. And maybe be able to just build that dynamic stretching into other facets of your life, you know. So I'm going, when I wake up, the next step I do is just to do some, you know, 10 minutes of just soft stretching. And when I'm sitting, and I don't do it often because I'm not good at watching TV, but now when I do sit down and watch TV, I'll even sit there. I have a hard time just sitting still. So, you know, be intentional about it. Just do some things when you're doing something that you already, you know, that you can connect that new best habit with, that 1% improvement, that 1% little bit of a change. Maybe just start out with some of that dynamic stretching.
Our bodies were built to move, right? That's a, when we talk about animals, those are primal instincts. Every time the dog gets up, that's what they do. And everything has become so easy and at our fingertips, mm-hmm. and our computers and our phones, that we're not moving enough. We're not doing enough to keep our body going the way it needs to go. And it is just as simple as blood flow, getting that blood flow. So, you know, we talk a lot about when people travel and you're just sitting there and you're not moving at all, you know, do some heel pumps and mm-hmm. raise your arms to the ceiling and twist around and move around. And so it's good to hear that you're not great at staying still, because that's actually a really good quality. I'd actually flip it around and say, I am really great at moving.
I love to move. Yes, let's build on that one. So with my desire to continue to move, how does that address this, the third piece of building stamina? I think of, you know, that ability to withstand fatigue, to deal with stress and pain. Do all these kind of build on each other to increase our daily stamina? Because I know that as I'm watching my parents or watching folks that are in their, you know, early 80s, that the stamina is just not there anymore. And I totally get the whole new thing is, let's take a nap in the midday, a 15-minute power nap, and that will give us the stamina for the rest of the afternoon. I think there is some validity to that. I haven't figured out how to do it yet. But I do think that opportunity to maintain stamina in life is more challenging as we age. Can you speak to that?
Yeah. The word that we also use in fitness is endurance, right?
Yeah.
Muscular endurance. And that's your muscle's ability to perform repetitive movements. Back to what I said earlier, if you don't use it, you will lose it. And so we know from earlier that we're losing muscle mass at a rate of 3 to 5% every year over 30. So we know that strength training component comes into it. But the muscular endurance piece is that how do you use those muscles for periods of time without getting tired? So many of your daily activities require muscular endurance. Walking, mm-hmm. getting up and down from a chair, up and down from the stairs, bending over and picking up the laundry basket. I mean, we could talk about this mm-hmm. all day. But if we improve our muscular endurance, we improve our muscles' capabilities to support our daily activities, and also, of course, in sports and exercise. But what it does is it makes all those activities easier, which decreases your risk of injury. Mm-hmm. So by having that stamina or that endurance, that's what it allows. Today, right now, we're standing while we're doing this because I'm a mover, you're a mover. If this wasn't something that we normally do, we would be fatiguing. Hmm. We'd be getting tired and we'd have to sit down. And unfortunately, we've heard this before, sitting is the new smoking. That it's actually sitting is one of the worst postures that we can have. It compresses the spine. And so moving is really important to that. So when you're standing, I mean, you've got all these muscles, especially in the lower body, firing. But also, how does your head stay up? And how does your spine stay upright as well, right? We have this other force called gravity mm-hmm. that's actually working against us. So when we're standing, we have all these muscles firing to keep our head upright, to keep our spine engaged, to stay balancing on each of our feet. So we're really working these muscles over time. And that's the goal. The more you do it, the more you get to keep doing it, the more fun it is. And that might be the big takeaway for people is that, you know, anytime you do something new, it's really, really challenging. But if standing is something that you like to do and you start doing it regularly, well, it comes easy, it becomes effortless, it becomes enjoyable, mm-hmm. becomes something that you want to do. And that's the piece that we really want to get people to think about. It's not what can't you do, it's what can you do. And so if you're normally sitting all day and it's what you do, then try standing for 1 minute a day, right? So starting somewhere is really important to develop that stamina and that endurance. To the nap piece, that tends to be a lot of mental fatigue, mm-hmm. right? We are always on our phone. We're always reading something and doing something. I read this really interesting report today that said they did a small research study. So again, it's small, but they did a small research study on men in their 50s. And they found that if they worked to basically take off for 15 minutes a day. So whether that's, you know, they just go for a walk, they're not reading, they're not thinking, they're being
not
really
in
mindful.
In front of the computer, yep.
Their brains become as active as when they were in their 20s.
Hear that, Eric?
Absolutely. I'm taking notes right now.
Now this is great stuff. I think, you know, also as we age, we tend to focus on, oh my gosh, I don't want to hurt myself. I don't want to, I know that in my mind, I don't ski the same way I used to ski. I don't take the risks that I used to take, but we still need to be out there. We need to be active. And I believe that as we look at, you know, maintaining our muscle, building that stamina, keeping flexible, that we're able to recover from injury if it does happen. It takes less time to recover, even though, yeah, as we age, it takes more time in general to recover. But if you're strong going into something, you're going to recover. You're going to be a lot more resilient.
And what you focus on is where is the direction you'll go. To put it simply, right? If you're driving in a car and you're looking at that tree, chances are you're going to start going towards that tree.
Right.
Right. So if we focus on what we want to do and what we can do, not what we can't do, that's the piece. Because if we're thinking about, oh my God, am I going to get injured? You're not thinking about what you should be doing when you're skiing. Paying attention
to your body.
Yeah. I mean, you know the position that you got to ski in. And if you're constantly thinking about how you're going to get hurt, you're probably going to get hurt.
Yep. That awareness, I think, of the risk, but then focusing on what do I need to do to stay healthy and in the moment and do my best with what I have. Okay, so looking at stability, you talked a little bit earlier, I think of physical stability as well as mental stability. And I've been doing a lot of reading on how our brains age and the mental capacities, and that actually over age, you know, right around 50, 60, that mental capacities start to change a little bit, and that we need to really embrace the fact that we need to be intentional and mindful about creating stability, not only physically, but mentally. Big thing nowadays is how do we rewire our neuropathways? And what you're talking about a little bit earlier is focusing on where you want to be going, focusing on the positive, I think is huge, because what we rewire, you know, will refire, and it creates those new mindsets. Can you speak a little bit about that again from the physical side? How would you build that, you know, balancing that stability component in your life as you age?
Well, the thing that comes to mind is keep it simple, stupid. Most people don't know what neurotransmitters are,
right,
and rewiring
right.
the brain. And
yep.
Yeah, talking way over their head. But what we do know is that connection from the brain throughout the body. So if I look at my hand and I say close in a fist, and I close my hand in a fist, right? That is... Now I verbalized what I just had my body do. But that's also the important part about staying positive and staying mindful within that framework, is that when I say I'm going to balance on one leg, And I think, okay, wow, this is kind of wobbly. What can I do? And I think, oh, I heard someone say I need to tighten my abs and bend my knee. And so now that's the wiring that we're talking about. I've made it very deliberate and very, and I don't mean to minimize it, but it really is that simple. And so what we talk about with people is, especially from surgeries, right? You have a knee surgery and you have all this damage and this, all this stuff that just happened to these joints and these ligaments.
Yeah, it's a trauma.
And a lot of it is just, you know, if you want to get that quad activated, which is on the front of the leg, it's tapping it. It's talking to it, right? It's working through that. So you're using all of those pieces. And when we talk about stability, we talk in the fitness world about the other side of it, which is mobility, right? So being stable and mobile. And we have joints within our body that are stability joints, which would be like the knee. And we have joints that are mobile joints, which would be like the hip or the shoulder. And it's very easy to see, right? The knee is bends forward and backwards, and the hip, you can kind of do a bunch of circles in. So when we talk about stability, if we think that the hip is stable, is mobile, and the knee is stable, then how do they work together? How does a mobile joint, right? You can't stretch your knee, but you can certainly stretch all those little ligaments that are connecting the hip joint together. So being mobile in the hip will help you become stable in the knee. And so when we do fitness assessments or we watch how people are moving and exercising, those are some things that we look for. So the mobility piece, when it comes into kind of the mental aspect of it, right, is being able to kind of bend and flex and work through situations and not be so challenging on ourselves. And then the stability piece is stabilizing through that, of being positive as you're working through these various pieces. And so stability is maintaining control of a joint movement or position. And mobility is the degree of where two bones meet and how do they move without being restricted through with the surrounding tissues. I've very much simplified that. But it would be the uninhibited movement around that joint. And so movement and stability work together to support all various pieces of the body.
Thank you. That's, again, new piece to the stability. So stability and mobility both need to be addressed. You mentioned that you do some work with clients coming in and do some assessments. Can you talk to us a little bit about when is it time to get a coach? When is it time to get a trainer? You know, what do you look for with a coach or trainer, personal fitness guru?
Well, there's two sides of that, right? Having a trainer tends to be a little bit more expensive, just as having a financial advisor. So you've got to find that value for yourself. To go and get a personal trainer. And we have a lot of people that do personal training one-on-one. We have a lot of people that do what we call small group training, which is 5 to 10 people. And then we've got the big group exercise classes, which is kind of that coach piece, right? Where, you know, you're kind of, they're overseeing you, but it's a little bit more challenging to keep you going. The biggest piece that I would say in terms of what to do is accountability and support. So yes, you can find that through a trainer. And they can help you get hold you accountable and give you that assessment that says, okay, here's where we see some deficiencies or some issues with how you're moving. Let's work on that. And based on what your goals are, let's work through that. And then the support of and encouragement of that. But also the other side of that is a buddy. You and I do this a lot.
Yes.
We don't just go and sit in the office in a meeting. We go for walks.
Yeah.
We put on our tennis shoes. It's an intentional walk, right?
Yep.
It's not like, oh, whatever shoes I have on, I'm doing it. No, we've got our shoes. We're ready to roll. We have an intention. We have a direction and away we go. That's the accountability and support as well. So it really works twofold. But what I would say without a doubt is if you have an injury or you've had surgery, you need to see a personal trainer.
Yeah, because you don't want to risk more injury. You want to do it right. You want to use the equipment properly. You want to know what you're dealing with.
You can see a lot of benefits by just seeing a personal trainer once or twice or three times, just to give you that education that you need, because that philosophy of no pain, no gain, that doesn't exist. Hmm. The more research that we have, we know that that is very, very detrimental to one's psyche and also your ability to move forward with, you know, preventing those risks of injury.
Great. You guys are participating in the Silver Sneaker program. Can you share what that entails, how people can get involved with that?
So what we're starting to see is the rest of these big corporations are starting to wake up and see that it is important to be not only physically fit, but physically active. And what's fun about Silver Sneakers is that, you know, a lot of people, when they hit into their 60s, that they're not financially stable. Mm-hmm. And they maybe didn't save as much as they should. And so there's an option through Medicare. It's one of the supplemental plans that it costs a little bit more, but it allows you to go to, I believe, over 10,000 locations in the United States and exercise at a fitness center at no cost to you. And so we implemented Silver Sneakers 3 years ago, and I think we have about 225 members.
Wow.
That are Silver Sneakers members that come into TAC. And it's great. I mean, it varies what everyone does when they come to the gym. And sometimes some of those people are like, I'm going to walk on the treadmill for 10 minutes and talk with my friend, and I'm going to grab some coffee,
so social,
and away I go. Yep. Yeah. And that's what we strive to be as a fitness center as well. And so we also offer group classes at a really reduced rate for those Silver Sneakers members at $30 a month. But we also just implemented a class that we're calling Stable and Able.
Love it.
And the purpose of that is to, number one, is to get those people that are coming into the gym that are new members and get them familiarized with the equipment so that they don't hurt themselves. But also we have a class environment for them as well, where we're working through all those things we just talked about: flexibility, strength training, stamina, building on top of that in a fun social environment. And that'll be included with their membership for Silver Sneakers.
I love it. You know, we have a very active valley, and it's easy to be outside and doing, you know, a multitude of activities. But I do think that community, that accountability component is hugely important. How can our listeners get a hold of you guys at TAC?
So they can go to our website, tacfitness.org. They can give us a call at 970-279-5412, or they can just come by. So our address is on the website, 1460 East Valley Road in Basalt. They probably know someone that might be going to TAC as well, and maybe they go with a buddy. But, you know, we legitimately want to hold up to our mission and our values, which is making our community stronger, healthier, and better. And we want to do that and not be limiting. So we want to be all inclusive. We want, you know, yeah, we have a lot of people that spend hundreds of dollars a month with us. And then we have people that just utilize the Silver Sneakers membership, and it's no cost to them. So we have a nice, fun, wide range of people from Glenwood to Aspen that enjoy our facilities, and we all just have a great time together.
Again, I greatly appreciate our time together. As always, I learned something, and I look forward to our next walk and talk sooner than later. You can reach me at www.wealthbydesign4u.com as we walk alongside our pre and post retirees to strengthen their financial lives, to optimize your financial potential so you can live your full and unfold your true life opportunities. So thanks again for your time today, Amanda, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you so much.
Amanda, thank you. This was very informative. And yes, I did take notes. And I'm going to share some of these things with my wife, because she actually sits on a yoga ball for her work, because she does have to sit at a desk, and she's there a lot of hours. And so she actually sits on a yoga ball, so it forces her to have better posture. And I should probably do that when I'm not standing. So maybe I'll pick up a yoga ball. All right.
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, no, it's great. It makes you better balance too. So that's kind of fun. All right. And I want to thank everybody out there for listening to the Wealth Done Differently podcast with Danielle Howard. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, please click the subscribe now button below. This way, when Danielle comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. This makes it much easier to share these podcasts with your friends and family. And this podcast specifically, I know you've got some friends or family that need to hear about how to stretch correctly and how to fire up those neural pathways and learn quite a bit from what Amanda shared. So share this with them if you would. Again, thanks for listening today. For everyone at Wealth Done Differently Retirement, this is Eric Johnson reminding you to live your best day every day. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Wealth Done Differently Retirement Podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Wealth by Design, LLC. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning. Danielle Howard, Certified Financial Planner, is an investment advisor representative of Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer, member FINRA/SIPC. Cambridge and Wealth by Design, LLC are not affiliated.